Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 5, Geographic Names at Top Level, taking place on the 7th of February, 2018. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll calls. We have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. Currently at this time on audio only, I have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Juan Manuel Rojas, and Bram Voldalini. In addition to those three names, is there anyone else on audio only? Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-leader, Martin Sutton. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry, and welcome everybody for today's meeting. An agenda was issued earlier to everybody, so I'll just quickly run through the agenda that we have. It is in the Adobe Connect for those that are tuned into Adobe. Essentially, we'll have an opportunity just to quickly provide an update since our last meeting. The core of this meeting will to be the review of existing defined geographic terms, and that was listed in more detail in the agenda that was circulated. Before, at the end, we will have a chance to discuss or raise further actions for additional geographic terms, and a call for any other business. So if anybody has any other business that they would like just to quote now that they would want to raise at that later point, please let us know either in the chat or raise your hand at this point. Okay. Seeing none at this stage then. If we could just do the normal checks, please, for any statements of interest that are required to be updated. If anybody has anything to voice at this stage, could you please raise your hand or get in a queue? It must be a quiet month then. So thanks very much. We'll move then on to the update since the last meeting. So the good news is that the terms of reference that we've been working on have been completed and distributed. So that's a great step forward so that we can now focus on the core piece of work around Work Track 5. That was circulated. If you haven't received a copy, there's a link on display as well there, and you'll be able to find that in the wiki for the Work Track 5 activities. The other update is regarding a webinar planned for tomorrow, and in light of the discussions that we'd had during our last call and previous discussions, it was thought that a history of geographic names would be welcomed by those that are new to this space, that would like to understand a bit more detail as to how things came about. From the time of the GNSO policies being derived in 2007 through to the applicant guidebook being published in 2012, and some of the activities that have occurred since that point in time. So this is planned for tomorrow at 1900 UTC, and Work Track 5 members are welcome to join that. It is focused on newcomers so that they can appreciate the types of issues that have been reviewed in the past to come up with the version of the applicant guidebook that was used. But we also welcome other experienced members to attend either as a refresher or to be able to help respond to some of the questions that may be asked at the end of that session. So please mark that one in your diaries, and please join us for tomorrow at 1900 UTC if you'd like to. Is there any questions regarding tomorrow's webinar? Okay. Great. So we'll move swiftly on then to the core part of this meeting. From our last meeting where we had prepared to discuss the existing definition of geographic terms, it was apparent that the discussions were becoming quite broad in context and very difficult to assign to any particular relevant term of the geographic definitions that we had already in place. So what we have done since then is prepare a very much more detailed breakdown of those geographic terms so that we can actually start walking through each of those to try and work out whether we can validate their existence so that they are a good representation of a geographic term for the purpose of top-level domains that we can use to apply certain treatments that we will go through. But for today's session, as articulated in the agenda that was circulated, there are three key things that we want to focus on for each of the 13 terms that are identified within the AGB. So first of all, as I say, one is to try and validate whether that is a good geographic term for our purposes, and then to open up discussions on what were the positive impact and merits based on the treatment applied to that term in the applicant guidebook. Then we would look at what were the negative impact and opportunities lost based on the treatment applied to that particular term. That will help us build up a good background of essentially the pros and cons of how of the impact of the way that we treated those specific terms in this last round. A spreadsheet was circulated, so I know people have had an opportunity to look at that. We've also, prior to the last meeting, we had started to collect some information, and I'm really pleased that members of the work track have started to populate the spreadsheet that we were looking at for rationale, why change is needed, or what was useful to retain. And we'll reflect on some of that as we go through the relevant individual terms that we're going to go through today. Does anybody have any questions first before we leap into the first term? I just want to make sure that that's clear. Okay. Right, hearing none then. So if we move on to the first term, so this is the popular one I think that has been discussed previously in great detail within the cross-community working group. And here we're talking about the Alpha 2 code listed in ISO 3166 standard. Now, for the first few, we will be referring to this 3166 list. So as an example here, AF.AF for Afghanistan is what we're referring to in the Alpha 2 code list. And the way that it was treated within the 2007 policy PDP was that a two-character code would not be available as a generic top-level domain. They're not permitted, and the reason being it was to avoid conflicting with current and future country codes based on that list. In terms of the applicant guidebook, that was mirrored so that it was not available as a generic top-level domain. So that was exactly the same. We'll go through others where there's a difference in the way that they were treated from a policy perspective to the implementation perspective. So I would like to open up the discussion and rather phrase this as is it a valid geographic term? Perhaps if I just ask for anyone, does anyone have any reservations about using this two-character 3166 reference as a geographic term? It's your opportunity to speak to that. I have Paul in the queue. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Paul McGrady for the record. It's not so much a reservation, but a question. When we say that this was adopted to avoid conflicts with country code top-level domain names, does anybody recall the thinking behind that? Was it people were worried about typo variations and therefore these two-letter domain names were banned, or was it concerns about competition that the, for ccTLD operators not wanting to additional two-character domain names out there? There's all kinds of examples of things you can think of that are not necessarily country codes that are also that do represent by two letters. I always go to AA.com to book my air travel, for example. So there are commercial uses for these. I'm not saying we should reverse course. I'm just curious, was the concern about misdirected traffic or was the concern about competition or perhaps both? Anybody that can speak to that would be – I'd love to hear the story of how we ended up with this particular restriction. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul, and I think we'll keep that question in there and see if anybody can respond to that. And I've got Nick Wenban-Smith next, please.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, yeah. Thanks.
Okay. I think just while we talk about the Alpha 2s, just to be totally crystal here, the Alpha 2 on the 3166, that is not every single two-letter combination. So the two-letter combinations total 26 times 26, that's 676 combinations. I think the 3166 has less than that, I think about 270-odd. But what we're talking about here is it's not just that it is eligible or is already a ccTLD two-letter, but also that the ones which have not yet been registered or not yet on the list as a two-letter code are also not available for registration because, as it says in the text, it's because countries change names, actually, and the two-letter code also occasionally does change names within the Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia. And so that it's a relatively small number of two-letter combinations, less than 500, and those are blocked, as I said, for future use in terms of potential to yet to be named informed countries, just to be totally clear about it. Because I think it's important, as we talk about this, it's the first sort of most easy one where the policy matches the implementation. It's a slightly different position for the Alpha 3 codes, for example. And it's just worth pointing out that some of these, well, like AA, for example, I don't think that is on the ISO 3166 Alpha 2 list. So therefore, it's not geographic, but nonetheless, the policy was and was implemented such that it would not be eligible for the TLD, even though it's not actually a standard two-letter code for any country at the moment.
Thanks, Nick, for the clarification. I think that's worthwhile to raise. I mean, what might be interesting is to understand the volume of additions that occur to the two-letter country code list over a period of time. So is it something that, you know, is there 10, 20 a year that are added to that, or is it something like over 10 years you might see 10 changes to that list? Might be helpful to understand that a bit more, as we're kind of, if you like, blocking access to all two-letter characters, but we may never actually apply those to a country in 10, 20, 30, 50 years. But thanks for raising that one.
You're absolutely right. And that was the policy recommendation from 2007, yep. And that's the way it was implemented.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. I have Yap next. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is Yap speaking. And
sorry, Yap, I've lost.
We don't hear you. We don't hear you.
Okay. Well, whilst Yap might be trying to connect again, I've got Christopher in the queue, and Yap, I'll go back to you once you've connected. Christopher, please go ahead.
Christopher Wilkinson, I know a little bit about this because I was closely involved with the creation of the .eu registry. On the general matter, Annabeth is the authority, but I believe she's not yet on the call. My only substantive point at this stage was that ICANN and this group need the presence of the International Standards Organization explicitly to advise on their policy, because they own 3166. ICANN doesn't. Their policy on the use of codes that have not yet been assigned. On the one hand, I fully understand that a lot of two-letter codes are interesting, say VW, and they're not used as country codes. On the other hand, we have had several experiences in recent years, at least I'm 76, so my concept of recent years may be longer than above average, where country codes did change radically, and ISO had to allocate new codes. There's a whole story behind that which we don't know about. And I think the International Standards Organization should be invited by ICANN or the GAC, whoever's most appropriate, to give an opinion on this, on the use of their standards, particularly as they relate to codes that have not been allocated. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Are you back online?
I hear you.
I'm back online, I guess, if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Please go ahead.
Okay, then it's fine. Being a member of ISO 3166, you know, I'm directly talking with that hat on, and there's an understanding that that ICANN confirms to the list of as presented in ISO 3166 and will only use that for CCTOD, meaning that the understanding that it goes back to 2000. And whether or not you call that geographical term, it doesn't matter. If you want to use it for something else than CCTOD, you should convince ICANN that you change this position totally. It means that you completely drop ISO 3166 as being a reference. I mean, there is no way in between. You cannot pick and choose you cannot pick and choose elements from the standard and forget about the parts you don't like. I mean, you have to be very consistent. And actually, the board actually confirmed this standard somewhere in the board resolution in 2000 for that they will only use the two character names for CCTODs unless there's a real exception to all of this EU. But if you want to use two character names for anything else than CCTODs, I would say that you should change completely all the policy work in ICANN.
Okay, thank you, Yap. I think these are really interesting points. I think there is, I suppose, what we're allowing here to occur is just to discuss and validate whether the two-character code, in the spirit that it's used at the moment, is still valid and should be retained. There may be reference points from 10, 20, 30 years ago when this started to develop that were absolutely reasonable to take on board at that stage. But I think what we're trying to also make sure is that as things have changed, and do we have to adapt any of this? So this is an opportunity for trying to tease out if there is any questions that we need to cover on existing terms, including the two character codes. But I'll move on. Alex, so I've got Alexander was in the queue next, and then I've got Christopher back on afterwards. Alexander?
Hello. It's Alexander Schubert. I would like to add to this that AA.com was mentioned, American Airlines. And that is one of the examples of a two-letter code that can never assign to a country because it's one of the codes that is reserved for the public. So .AA could indeed be assigned to American Airlines without ever any country being impacted because there will be never a country called AA because it's exempted. But still, I say we should not assign any two-letter GTLD because it's not just about that we have to preserve the two-letter namespace for other countries, but additionally, the internet user in all those decades is conditioned to understand, at least outside of the United States, is conditioned to understand that two letters are somehow connected to a country and they're used by countries, and anything else is used by somebody else. I mean, this is something that is probably not known in the United States because most Americans don't even know that they have an own CCTLD, or which it would be. But there are 95% of the world population living outside of the United States, and those have a very good understanding and feeling for CCTLDs and GTLDs. And if we would start to assign AA to American Airlines, which wouldn't hurt any country, then the distinction between CCTLDs and GTLDs would completely vanish in my eyes. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexander. Just to flag again, let's go back to the point here. We've got Alpha 2 code listed in the ISO 3166 standard that we use to represent a geographic term for policy purposes and for the AGB. So let's first of all go through this question. Is it a valid geographic term for the purposes of new GTLDs? I think, you know, there's a lot of argument that says, yes, it is. So what I just want to tease out, is there any real objections or concerns with using the two-character code as a basis for working out how we treat those particular terms, rather than going into the detail of, you know, how we will treat those terms? So please bear that in mind as I go through the list here. So I've got Yap, and then Greg, please. Yap, go ahead. As an old hand. Greg, please go ahead.
Thank you. It's Greg Shatton for the record. I think we need to distinguish between two-letter codes and those that are number, letter. Clearly, ISO 3166 uses two-letter codes and understanding the need for expansion as countries may be created or change their names. I'm willing to concede kind of the future two-letter codes to the kind of geographic space in the making. But I don't think we need to come to the same conclusion on letter number and number letter as well, or number, since those won't fall within ISO 3166. As you called it, it's alpha 2, not character 2. I think we also, listening to Alexander, it strikes me that first, I think there's far more people in the United States that understand that the two-letter codes like .fr and .de represent countries, even if .us is not a particularly popular or significant TLD. On the other hand, there are a number of two-letter TLDs that were assigned to some extent owned by countries but are no longer operating as CCTLDs. it's probably outside our ambit to consider anything about them, especially in this forum. But in a sense, those countries are taking advantage, or those TLDs are taking advantage of the assumption that Alexander states, which is that all two-letter codes are countries. So if you have a .WS, for instance, which was marketed or may still be marketed as World Site and has nothing to do with Western Samoa anymore, it's basically just a GTLD without any of the policy protections that GTLDs operate under. So that, in essence, is a it's a sham to a certain extent. It's also a third rail issue here. I don't know that we want to get into it, but I don't think we can just slavishly say that there's a correct assumption that all two-letter codes operate as CCTLDs. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. So can I just ask a quick question in return? Because based on those comments and previous ones, is it reasonable still, though, to use Alpha 2 code list 3166 as a basis for creating policy requirements? So whatever they may be, and, you know, you've articulated some variances already within that space, but whatever they may be, is this a good list to include within the geoterms? I think that's the point that we're trying to make sure that we cover and validate as we go through each of these terms, geoterms. Could I actually just quickly respond to that?
Greg Chatton again. I would say yes. I think so far I haven't seen a concrete reason why it's not good, and the fact of the matter that it's, you know, external and is used in other places and has other places where one might understand it might be equally arcane, but all trademark docketing software that I know uses the two-letter codes to represent the countries. So the fact that this is tied to a larger universe and has a consistency across that universe is, I think, an advantage, and I think there'd have to be some demonstrated problems with why we would want to break away from that system. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. I've got Alan and then Paul, and then I'll close it off at that stage because we've got quite a useful set of feedback, because I'd like to go on to start talking about the positive and negative impacts of the treatment in the last round. So over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure if I'm being overly pedantic, but my recollection is the applicant guidebook and the policy said two-letter alpha codes were not allowed. And what is in this chart, it says two-letter codes listed in ISO 3166. And there's a more than a subtle difference between those two. Can we have clarity of what was actually in the policy and the applicant guidebook? Was it just those that are listed today, or was it all two-letter alpha codes?
Thanks, Alan. I wonder if Steve or Julie or Emily might be able to just extract the reference there and post it into the chat, please, if that's possible. Then we can validate that. Thanks, Alan. Paul, got you next.
Thanks, Paul McGrady, for the record. I sort of feel like we've already talked about B a little bit. What were the positive impact merits based on the treatment? For example, some folks said less conflict between CCTLDs and potential new applicants. Nobody was able to identify whether that conflict meant misdirected traffic or whether that conflict meant that CCTLDs would have more competition. We could kind of leave that where it's at. The other good point that was raised earlier is that, you know, countries change names. That's interesting, right? Countries do change names. And so that would seem to be a positive impact under B. But in terms of C, the negative impact and opportunities, the negative impact and opportunities lost, we really don't have the answer to that because there was no opportunity for ICANN. ICANN didn't say, please apply here. And if for some reason you're not applying because of our policies, please let us know that here, right? So we don't know who didn't apply for a two-character domain name. So there's no way for us to quantify C. So in the absence of somebody being on this call who has an affiliation with a registry that or an affiliation with a, you know, some sort of commercial entity that would have applied for a two-character TLD in the first round, you know, speaking up and saying, yeah, we were going to apply, but then we found out the policy precluded us, I don't think there's any way for us to respond to C. So I don't mean to jumpstart, you know, I don't mean to jump ahead to B and C, but I think we've already talked a lot about those already. And we do need to answer those in order to answer A, which is, you know, is this still a good list? And I've not heard anybody put forward a good, you know, any reasons so far why this is not a good list. So I just wanted to state that. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. And thanks for moving into the B and C questions for this one. I think you're right that some of the questions that have been posed already and some of the comments relate to more of the impacts rather than explicitly about the using that specific list for the two characters. So let's now move forward. We'll capture a lot of this. I think what we'll end up with is quite often more questions than answers, which isn't a bad thing. It just means that we can then go off and explore some of those open questions as we move forward. So let's move on. I'd like to hear from those in the group regarding what they consider to be a positive impact and the merits based on the treatment of the two character codes in the applicant guidebook. So I know Paul's already highlighted a couple. It would be useful if I could ask others to contribute as well. Paul, is that an old hand? Or are you back in the queue? Thank you. Jeff, over to you.
Yeah, so I think positive impact was that it was a consistent rule. It was easy to apply. It was objective. So for all of those reasons, limiting it all two characters was a good positive impact on the treatment. As far as C, the opportunities lost, we do know that Hewlett-Packard had sent in a couple letters on H.HP. I don't think that was on the ISO list, but that was certainly one that would have been prevented with the two character. Now, they just sent letters in to have the rule limited, but there's no evidence that they necessarily would have applied as they did not state that they, I don't think they directly stated that they would have applied. I think one of the questions we should ask on the two character is, should we limit the two character restriction to letter-letter combination as opposed to all two characters? In other words, should we allow number-letter or letter-number combinations is probably the right question at this point. Thanks.
So, Jeff, on that point, I kind of regard personally the letter-number combinations as outside of scope. What we're looking at here is geographic terms. So we don't currently have a letter number based policy. So on that basis, is there some other work track that would be involved in looking at that aspect?
So if this group does see that a letter number combination or number letter combination is outside of scope, then we would this would then be covered by work track two. I think at this point work track two has refrained making a recommendation on that simply because it was waiting for output from this group. So I think the answer, I think this group would need to say that letter number and number letter is definitively out of scope before work track two picks it up. Thanks.
So thank you, Jeff. and I'll refer to the queue in a second. I just want to clarify that a bit further, because I think we should take that as an action from the group to liaise with the relevant work track and give them whatever information that they need to discuss that further. Because I notice in the chat also a point raised that, you know, these are irrelevant because it's got to be three characters or more was the applicant guidebook. But the discussions that we're going through are specific to geographic terms. The policy and the final guidebook closed off anything that was under three characters, whether it be geographic term or not. So we've got some other issues there that probably need to be parked in more relevant buckets that are not related to geographic terms. Probably the letter number combination is one of those. So that may be something that we need to take forward as a further discussion point for the next meeting. So I've got, I thought I had Susan. Nope, Susan's gone. Yap in the queue, please.
Yes, a very quick remark. I mean, Python being out of scope, as you mentioned. I also want to point out that there has been a long-standing rule in the DNS standard that domain names should not start nor end with a number, so or be just complete number. Although it's been relaxed, I mean, it's in some form. I mean, it probably will a lot of problems with the technical community. So, but again, that's not for us to consider. But just as a fact.
Okay, thank you, Yap. And I'm just reading through some of the comments going through with the letter number combination. Is there anybody that actually has an opinion that letter number is in scope? I'm hearing lots of otherwise not, but if there is anybody that has a strong opinion that it should be included, please let yourself be heard. Right, so I think there is an action coming from this that we do need to send that specific piece of information to the relevant work track. And I'll liaise, Jeff, can I liaise with you in terms of how we process that?
Well, you also have Michael Fleming on this call. He's one of the co-chairs or the co-leaders of Work Track 2. So between Michael and I think, and Cheryl, I think that's fine.
So I just don't want it to fall through the gap. So that's great. Okay, thanks very much. I've not seen any more in the queue, but is there anybody else that has any other positive impact or merit? I've got a phone call in the background here on my speakers there. If you're not speaking, could you please mute? Thank you. So before we move on to C, is there any other positive impact on merits anybody wishes to raise? Okay, and I'll do another. I know we've heard some comments on the lost opportunities or negative impact. Is there anybody else that has a point to raise on the Alpha 2 code list? Okay, well, we'll take those comments and we'll feed that back into the spreadsheet in a shorter form. So thank you. Let's move on to the next term. Can we move the slide on, please? Thank you. So Alpha 3 code listed, again, 3166. So in this example, we've got AFG for Afghanistan. For the policy work, it was available, but a challenge mechanism to governments to initiate an objection. Applicants should be aware of the GAC principles, and applicants must represent that they used the proposed string that the use of the proposed string is not in violation of the national laws in which the applicant is incorporated. There was a difference so that in the actual final ADB, it was made not available. So these weren't available. So in terms of our policy discussions, does anybody have reservations about using the Alpha 3 code list to work out a treatment of that particular type of term in our work? I will assume silence is three. Oh, sorry. I've got Javier saying that three-letter codes are also out of scope. Could you explain your rationale for that, please, if you can't join by phone? If you could include that in the chat, please. Please note that when we're asking that question, is it a valid geographic term for the purposes of new GTLDs? You know, it's not about how we treat it. It's about using that list to then consider if there needs to be a certain type of treatment or treatments applied to the Alpha 3 code list. Okay, so I've got Nick, Alex, Alexander, and then Jeff, Susan, and Greg. So, Nick, fire away, please.
Nick Wendon Smith, for the record. I must be better at saying that.
Sorry, Nick, you're very, very faint. I don't know if you could get closer to the mic.
Better?
A little bit.
Is that better?
Yes, okay. A little. Yeah.
Good. So, unlike the Alpha 2 codes, which all of the letter-letter combinations, whether or not they're on the ISO list as a standard, only the Alpha 3 codes, which are on the standard, that is to say about 270 out of the 17,500 more or less three letter combinations are blocked. So this is the distinction. And I think it's pretty much undeniable. We can argue about whether they should be blocked as a GTLD or not, but it's undeniable to say that there is obviously a geographic connection with the Alpha 3 codes, which are down as country three-letter codes in the ISO 3166.
Thank you, Nick. We've got Alexander next.
Yes, this is Alexander Schubert. And in addition to that, I would like to refer to the application for the BAR, like a bar where you get drinks. That one was obviously treated as a geographic name as well, because it is in some other place of ISO 3166. So if we are treating BAR, a completely generic term, a geographic term, because it is you can find it in another place of 3166, I think three-letter country names are even much more geographic, because a country is a more important or impacting entity than a smaller region like the region BAR. So per the 2012 applicant guidebook, clearly three-letter country codes are geographic terms.
And is Alexander, is that similar in terms of .com as well? I mean, that was prior to new GTLDs.
Well, yeah, that's I think that's the only case where a legacy top-level domain kind of accidentally violated the rule. But that's simply the case. It's a very small area with a very low internet usage, and obviously no one is going to Comoros.
So, okay, thanks for that. I've got Susan next, and if I could just ask people to remember, the first point of this is just to say, is the Alpha 3 code list suitable to hang off how we will treat that kind of geographic term going forward. So that's the precise question at the moment. So I've got Susan next, please.
Yeah, thanks, Susan Payne. I think a couple of things, and just to quickly respond to Alexander, since I have my hand up straight after him, I don't think it's really a question that .com, you know, was a sort of one-off breaching of the rules. I mean, I think there wasn't a rule. You know, there's a distinction about two characters in country codes, and three characters meaning GTLDs, going back to that early RFC. So it's not really a question of a .com breach of the rules, but only a small situation, so it doesn't matter. I mean, these are the rules from the AGB 2012 were developed significantly later, obviously. But all I was going to say was really that I agree with Nick Wemben-Smith. I think how we treat them is definitely something that we need to consider and discuss very clearly. But you know, we do know that the three-letter codes are allocated in the ISO list to indicate countries, and so I think it's reasonable for this purpose, and given that it was treated in that way in the applicant guidebook for the 2012 round, to think of them as geographic terms. But that's not to say that they get the same treatment necessarily. That's something that needs discussion, and had extensive discussion in the cross-community working group on country and territory names without an ability to reach agreement. But so obviously work needs to be done.
Thank you, Susan. So I've got Greg and Christopher in the queue. If we could just focus on, first of all, is this list useful for the purpose of developing or continuing policy? That's what we're aiming for, and then we'll move on to B and C. So if I can ask Greg and Christopher to keep your points related to question A, and then we'll move on. Thank you. Greg?
Thanks, Greg.
You might be on mute, Greg.
I do think that...
You might be on mute, Greg.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. I think as far as the three-letter codes that are actually listed on the list at the time, it makes sense to consider those geographic terms. But as Paul McGrady notes, all three character combinations were not barred in the previous round, shouldn't be barred here for a number of reasons, including the fact that the three-letter codes aren't used as CCTL. We need to stick to the list as it exists. I've checked the list, and BAR is not an ISO 3166 three-character code. So for whatever reason it was excluded, it was not excluded under this particular rule. So I think the rule that the current list is a list of geographic terms is an appropriate rule.
Thank you, Greg, and I think we'll be able to pick those points up as well for the next two questions. So, Christopher?
Hi, Christopher Wilkinson again for the record. Thank you, Martin. My first point is that, to the best of my understanding, the CCNSO already has a fairly detailed policy on this matter, and I would be inclined to defer and not try and invent a personal opinion to amend it. The second point is similar to the one I've already made. ISO 3166 does not belong to ICANN. It belongs to the International Standards Organization, and I would strongly recommend that ICANN, not necessarily this little working group, but ICANN formally request from ISO a considered opinion on these questions. Because if we don't have that, sooner or later down the line, somebody in ISO is going to say either stop or ouch. And I don't think that, and I include myself in this, I don't think this group is really competent in all the spellings and languages of that word, really competent to try and reinvent an ISO 31663 alpha 3 policy. I think that we should defer to the authors and authorities of this. And I think YAP has already indirectly confirmed that point of view, but it's not just enough to have an opinion on the call. I think we need a formal written opinion from ISO on this matter. Thank you.
So, Christopher, are you saying that, because I'm trying to get back to this question, is the list generated by ISO 3166 a relevant and purposeful list that ICANN can use for the purposes of creating or developing or changing policies in regards to geographic terms? I'm not quite sure and clear if that was a yes or no from
entirely personally and off the cuff, I would be inclined to say yes. But we have a full session in the webinar tomorrow of where the whole history of this will undoubtedly be reviewed. So I'm not going to say more than that. I think the feeling of this meeting is is the answer is probably going to be yes among what the best we know about it. But I just think we're not an authoritative formal forum for that purpose. Thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. No, I just wanted to clarify because I'm just trying to see, you know, these have been applied to policy and the applicant guidebook development with good reasons at the points that they were created. And this is an opportunity as a checkpoint to say, you know, is this still a valid source for us to base policy decisions on? So, you know, these are strong reference points in the applicant guidebook. So one, are they reliable? Can we continue to use them as a basis for working out policy development? So thank you. That's exactly what we needed. So can I now cut the list on A, and we'll move on, please, to for the three character codes. So how the treatment of these was applied in the applicant guidebook. Could I ask people to, and I don't mind if we combine these two, to voice positive impact and merits on that treatment in the last round, and any negative impact or opportunities lost. So I've got Greg and Christopher. Christopher, is that your last hand? Yeah. Okay. All right. New hand. Old hand. Okay, so I've got Paul. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Paul McGrady for the record. Same answer as before for letter C, which is we don't know because there wasn't, apply here or I would like to apply here, but your policies don't let me. And as I look over the list, there seem to be very few opportunities on there. You know, maybe somebody wanted to operate a registry about the Eastern Standard Time Zone and they applied for .EST. Not sure. Seems far-fetched. But, you know, there could have been somebody who wanted to do that. But they aren't captured here. At least nobody on this call so far has indicated that. And maybe there are someone on this call who will indicate that they know of somebody who would have applied. But unfortunately, ICANN didn't collect any I didn't apply data, and here's the reason why. So we really don't have the answer to question C. So absent that, I think that, you know, unless we have some strong reasons why we would fiddle with this particular component, I don't know why we would. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. And I think it would be helpful, not just from, I know we probably have a tendency to think of brands that might use these, but these are starting to become, you know, more useful in generic terms as well as we get a longer string. So a three string will have many generic terms as well as perhaps the same as a country code, as well as brands as well. So there'll be a very high mix, I should imagine, of potential applicants. I don't know if anybody's on the call that could speak to the point. Is there any countries that would have been willing or keen to have applied for a three-character country code? Happy to, if somebody could get in the queue for that, if they've got a response. I think that would be useful as well. In the meantime, these will be open questions, Paul. So where we haven't got that data, at least for us to be aware that, you know, we might be missing opportunities based on the way the treatment of a particular term was made in the last guidebook. Okay, I've got Susan and then Nick. Susan, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much. And noting Paul's comment that yes, that's correct. I suppose, you know, ICANN wasn't gathering data on I might have applied, but I didn't. I think there is an awareness of that there are some brands on that list, some of whom may well have been interested in applying, but obviously knew from pretty much the outset that they were not going to be able to apply for what they wanted to apply for. But the three-letter combinations in question also include a few common words such as CAM, which is Canada, but also is a common word in English, CUB, VAT, and some commonly used acronyms and abbreviations, like including things like IoT, Internet of Things, and IDN, Internationalized Domain Name, as well as some common abbreviations, including GEO, which we're all using furiously in the context of this conversation, for meaning geographic. So there are a number of potentially different uses that were excluded from the outset. And the justification that perhaps exists in relation to the two characters doesn't exist in quite the same way, because these three-letter terms are not being used as CCTLDs. So they were merely blocked.
Thank you, Susan. I think it's, you know, as Nick mentioned previously, this expands quite considerably once you move from a two-character string to three-character string, where there's a huge, huge overlap. Nick, please go ahead.
Hi. Yes, agree with Susan that, yes, some of the about 270, I think there are, three-letter combinations on the ISO standard. These are not available, and that includes, I mean, I'm very disappointed, and I think it probably would have been a poor, is G-I-N, gin. You know, there's a dot vodka and a dot beer, but G-I-N is the alpha 3 for Guinea, for example. It was blocked and probably would have been registered. So a small number of these, and don't forget there are, you know, 17,500 or so ways to arrange the 26 letters of the alphabet, and of those 17,500, only 275 are blocked. And you know, there obviously would have been some uses for, you know, you could have LEG leg, but you can't have ARM arm. So you do get, it does produce some slightly curious outcomes, which you don't expect at first blush, I guess, looking through the rules. But, you know, in terms of the positive impact, I have to say that it's a huge strength of feeling in the CC community that the alpha 3 is very strongly associated with the country names. Quite often it's a common abbreviation of the country name, or it's used a lot in terms of country sports teams or other things. So Canada, I know, feel very proprietorial about CAN, even though it obviously has other legitimate words as a common short English word. Norway, you know, it's on... As Annabeth explained to me, it's on the King of Norway's yacht, which sails up and down past Oslo. So you can understand why there's a huge amount of sensitivity around confusion with country names, notwithstanding these are not and never could be CCTLDs.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Nick. So have we got any more comments? I'm just going through the chat. I can't see anything initially on the chat beyond what's been spoken to. Alexander, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Alexander Schubert again. Is that we only made this requirement of a letter of non-objection for the three letter codes, that we rather denied them the application, but there was another rule that said that permutations and transpositions are also not allowed. So if you wanted to go for, let's say, FRA, if you wanted to go for AFR, that's a permutation of FRA for France, and you couldn't apply for it as well. And some people felt this was a little bit of an overprotection, because nobody ever will mix a permutation of a three-letter code with the original one, because it's just impossible. You can't. So that would be one rule that we could. That was a rule that some felt was an overprotection to even protect permutations and transpositions.
Thanks, Alexander. And I think we've got a term coming up similar to that that we'll go through. So I point from Catherine on negative impact, if we could copy that over. Applicant, even though they might have reached agreement with the respective owner, whoever that may be, of the three letter, were banned. So there's some potential opportunities lost in that. Okay, so I've got Susan. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to respond to Alexander's point about the permutations and transpositions. And not that I can answer it, because I'm afraid I don't have the rules sort of sitting here in front of me, and I don't know them well enough to do so off the top of my head, or I don't want to say and turn out to be wrong, but that wasn't my understanding of how this worked. I thought the permutations and transpositions related to words rather than letters. So that you wouldn't get a permutation transposition of FRA into AFR or other combinations. But I think, I guess I just wanted to flag that maybe it would be helpful if perhaps staff could look at this for us and confirm whether, you know, precisely what the position was, because I would hate us to be going down a path with incorrect information.
Can I reply to that?
Yeah, please go ahead, Alexander.
Okay, this is Alexander Schubert again. I have waded into this very, very deeply, because already in 2010, a year before 2011, I created an applicant for a three-letter code. So I have studied this in great, great, great detail. And you're right, the transpositions are for country names, but the permutation rule is explicitly for three-letter codes. So you couldn't apply for AFR, because it would have been permutation of FRA. So you're right, transpositions for three-letter codes, not, but permutations. Permutations were not allowed to be registered. I finished.
Thanks, Alexander. And I think Emily's kindly added some of the wording through to the chat. So we'll pick that out as well, and it may be worth us relaying that back into the spreadsheet, I think, just to make sure that we've got clarity on that. So thank you. Okay, I'm going to close off the Alpha 3 code and move on to the next section. We've got probably 15 minutes to keep moving through these. These are quite challenging, these ones, already, but it's great to have the input and the different perspectives being pushed forward here so that we can capture those. If I can move to the next slide, please. So now we're talking about long form names. Oh, no, we're not. Yes, we are. Are we? I think you moved on one ahead. So we're on slide asset 9. So long form names in the ISO list again, or a translation of the long form name in any language. So, okay, so let's think of the list first of all. Is it a valid geographic term for the purposes of our policy work? If I could just ask, is there anybody that would have strong reservations about using that phrase, that terminology, a long form name in ISO 3166 to work on relevant treatment of that now and going forward? Yap, I have you in the list. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm not sure whether I made where I explained how I could process the information, but could be in a different word, not in different words, but it's good to know that the ISO actually relies for names, the long form and the short form of the country, on the UN terminology database. And because basically they track what's happening in the UN terminology database. So if a country changes its name in the database, if you like, the standard will be updated. The recent one is, for instance, a month ago, Libya changed its name. Just subtle, but now the database of the ISO is changed. So I mean, you might use it as a pointer to for a quick look up, but it's not authoritative and doesn't consider itself authoritative of whether or not this is the correct name, either the long or the short form.
Okay, thank you, Yap. Just thinking that through, is there anything alternative that we should also consider, or is this still a viable, in your mind, is it still a viable reference point for the purposes of trying to develop policy around specific terms?
It is a reference point, but note that they only, and that they are not always right. I mean, they're depending on other sources, and sometimes an official name differs than what is in use in common. And so it's, you can only treat it as a source, and with the fact that it actually bothers. This UN geographical... this subcommittee, UEGN, which is dealing with geographical names, they have been not doing anything for a long time. I think they're gaining up again, but they also use the UN terminology database. Things that pop up in the UN terminology database, these changes are often initiated by the countries or their representative at the UN itself. And so that's where most of these things come from.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The way ISO works, things up things themselves if it's not in the UN term database, but that seldom happens, and I cannot remember anything that happens. There's also a committee of 40 experts surrounding ISO to help with these things, especially in the case when it is transliteration. That's another thing you will notice, that the names of as listed in the ISO list are only transliterations into French and English. I mean, it's not even in the six UN official languages. UN terminology database has that.
Okay. So there could be some...
If you are aware about the limitations, you could use it,
yeah.
But not in your...
Okay.
Yeah, more.
Thank you, Jan. What I'll do is move on to the next two questions on this then. So is there any points people would raise in terms of the positive impact and merits of applying the treatment as it was for the AGB, which is that these terms were not made available as a GTLD, as opposed to the policy that was developed previously that stated they would be available, but a challenge mechanism available to governments to initiate an objection. So this is very similar to the last one. So applicants should be aware of GAC principles, and applicants must represent that the use of the proposed thing is not in violation of the national laws in which the applicant is incorporated, whereas that was then changed for the final guidebook so that these were not available. So I'd be interested to hear any positive impacts and merits that people would like to raise in terms of this particular geographic term that was used. Was there any positive impact? Okay, I'll open it up then to negative impact. I noticed Catherine has posted an item. If a country wanted to apply for the long name as a TLD, they were not allowed to. Any other points on this element, the long form name? Thank you, Jeff. So positive impact, similar to last time, it was easy, objective, standard to follow. So predictable, right? Okay. Anybody else have any more points on this one? Otherwise, I'll move on and squeeze in one last one before we move on to the other points in the agenda. Okay. Seeing none, if we can move to the next one, which is the short form name. Now, this is the same principle as the long form name, so I'm not going to go through because I think unless anybody has a comment in terms of valid geographic term, it will be the same. It will mirror the last one. Has anybody got any points to B and C that would differ to the points that have just been quoted in terms of positive and negative for the long form name? Excellent, thank you. We can move that one along. Okay, if we move to one more, and we'll see if we can squeeze this in. Now, this is a short or long form name association with a code that has been designated as exceptionally reserved by the ISO 3166 maintenance agency. So these were reserved for a particular use at a special request of a national ISO member body, governments, or international organizations. For example, UK, because actually our two-letter code is GB, so UK is reserved for United Kingdom. And the treatment of this in 2007 was available under the policy principles, but challenge mechanism to governments to initiate an objection. Actually, this is a repeat of the previous one, so I won't read through that. The final application guidebook said, no, not available as a GTLD. So, first of all, if I could ask anybody if they've got any reservations about this particular term being used as a geographic term for purposes of TLDs. And I've got Nick in the queue. Please go ahead, Nick.
Hi there. Nick Wendland-Smith.
I don't think the UK is a very good example of this because GB was on the list, the name and full and long form name Great Britain or whatever is the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland were already protected. I think example might be European Union would be caught by this rule just for clarity on that point. I think it's exactly the same considerations actually as the previous 2 points.
Thanks, Nick. No, I kind of assume some of these might mirror others, but we just want to make sure that we have the opportunity to identify any variances as we go through as well. So if I could ask for anybody else, if you've got any different positive and negative impacts to raise on this particular term that hasn't already been raised for the previous two items, which was the short, the long form and short form names. Otherwise, we don't need to dwell on this, so we can just mirror that for this section as well. Okay. Conscious of the time, but I'm keen to move on one more if we can. So let's try and cover one more on slide 12. So this is the term is a separable component of a country name designated on the separable country name list, a well-known list, I'm sure, for us all, or is a translation of a name appearing on the list in any language according to the annex in the applicant guidebook. So an example here was Åland, separable component of Åland Islands. And there is we'll add that link in for those that can go and find that. So this was the same treatment as before. So the 2007 policy was stating it would be available, but with a challenge mechanism in place. But the final guidebook dictated that these were not available. So just want to check if anybody is close to this and has any reservations about this term being included as a geographic term for the purposes of our policy work. Okay, not hearing any. Is anybody aware of any positive impacts or negative impacts based on the treatment of this specific term of geographic term? Okay, I have Greg. Please go ahead.
Hey, Greg Chatton for the record. I just would want to review the separable country name list before opining on this, and I have not yet done so. I don't know if others have and have seen a reason for no change or otherwise. I'm interested to know until I form my own opinion looking at the list itself.
Absolutely.
If people haven't looked at it yet, then maybe we should not opine on it yet.
Greg, understood. And I think if we could take an action to circulate the annex and the terms that this relates to, I think that will be a useful one to cover before we deal with that. So I think this is a good stopping point. I'll take Christopher as a last comment on this particular section of the agenda. Please go ahead, Christopher.
Thank you, Martin. I agree with Greg. It would be desirable to review in greater detail what this exactly implies. But my recollection is that the main problem in terms of moving forward with geographical names, the main problem is that 3166 privileges territories notably that are islands, and that from a political, economic, and social point of view, many, many, many territories who consider themselves to be geographical entities are not specifically referred to in 3166. So I think although we have very good reasons for respecting rigorously 3166 as far as it goes, I think we will have to, in due course, address the question of how do we treat geographical names, typically sub-national, regional, local names, which are not covered by 3166. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher, and a great segue into our next section. So if we could move, so we'll park this until the next meeting so that we can continue through the rest of the existing terms. But if we could move now to slide 20 and jump through to there. I think in response to your comment there, Christopher, we have stated that we will be looking at the items that have not been included to date. So please, what I would say is start thinking about that. There is the spreadsheet that was circulated previously has a tab to a secondary spreadsheet where we'll start to compile all those items that people think should be considered in terms of a geographic term and how they may be treated. And we can start going through those as we've got through towards the end of the existing terms. By doing that, we've got the ability to leverage as a foundation our understandings and the merits and the shortfalls of what we have already in existing terms. And we can start to discuss then those other terms that the work track wishes to explore as items that have been excluded to date. So we'll happily start to populate that. And if you have any considerations at this time, I would be happy if you could forward those or start to populate the spreadsheet so that at some point we can have a look at those and build out a plan for discussing those with the group. Is that clear, or does anybody have any questions on that element? Okay. So we'll move on to any other business. Does anybody have any other business? Oh, sorry, Avery, did you raise your hand on the last point? Please go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing you, Avery. Are you on mute? You may still be on mute, Avery.
Oh, dear.
Oh, we can hear you now.
Oh, you can hear me now.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Okay. The question I had was, and on the previous section, you were going to be talking about, since you were still in the discussion of what is a geographic name, I get confused when we're calling the things that have not yet been included as geographic names in the AGB geographic names. And I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding correctly that these are potential geographic names, but for the purpose of WT5, they are not yet geographic names.
Exactly, Avery. So what we're doing at this stage is going through what was expressly communicated in the applicant guidebook so that we can confirm to ourselves that those are valid geographic terms for the purposes of the policies that we're working on or wanting to develop or recommend changes to. But there are other types of geographic terms that are not expressly included within the existing guidebook that we'll be open up to discussing. So where there's a strong feeling that there is gaps and it's not clear as to how to treat certain geographic terms, we can then start to explore what should be included and how that should be treated. Does that make sense? I can't hear you, but... are you back on, Avery?
Yes, it does. I was just confused in the fact that we were calling them geographic names already. Thanks.
Okay, that is a good point, actually. So I wonder whether we should rephrase this something differently just to avoid that confusion. Let's have a think about that and in making sure that we can keep that clear and understood. Thank you. Okay, so call for any other business. If anybody would like to raise any, I think I've just got a couple of points I could flag at this point. Okay, Javier, any other business? Can anybody update briefly in regards to a short summary of the recent board discussion on geoms during this past week's public meeting? Is anybody able to?
This is Avery. I can.
Oh, great. Thank you, Avery. Over to you.
Okay, just a brief bit on it. So at the board workshops that were just held, there was a public session that was held on geonames. Now, what these sessions are informational. There was no decision-making or anything as part of those. It was really just a session to inform the board of the work that was going on here, its status, some of the questions that were open, and some of the issues they may hear about in coming months, and its projections for, when the board would have to be taking looks at the outcome of this work. So it was a purely informational session with questions and answers and such as that, but no decisions were made at that meeting, nor were any intended. And I should remind that while I'm saying this now, I'm in this group just as a participant and not as a liaison from the group. But of course, I know I can't separate the fact that I am on the board. So just wanted to give that update since it was asked for. Thanks.
That's very kind of you. Thank you, Avery. So I just want to raise a couple of points just to flag to everybody. We've had to adjust, the leadership group has had to adjust the work plan that was previously drafted and discussed at a previous meeting, as we've had to sort of rework how we approach this. We will be working on developing or adjusting the work plan now, and we'll have that ready to discuss before our next and circulated hopefully before our next meeting, but we'll cover that off at that stage. The other point to raise is ICANN 61. We're looking at what to do during the session that is designated for work track 5. So more news will be coming out shortly on that. If anybody has any ideas and contributions that they'd like to forward through, please be welcome to do so. So with that, I think we're on time, and I have no any other business. And thank you very much for all your participation. Much appreciated. Have a good day.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Michelle, the operator, if you could please stop all recordings. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.